ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 22, chapter entitled The Descendants of Ajamid. Today we are discussing from text 21 to 24. And they don't have a purport, so I'll take the purport for text 25. Vichitra Virya Stavarajo, Vichitra Virya Stavarajo, Namna Chitrangado Hataha, Namna Chitrangado Hataha, Yasyam Parasharat Sakshad, Yasyam Parasharat Sakshad, Avatirno Hare Kala, Avatirno Hare Kala. This is text 21. I'll read 22, 23, 24. The Sanskrit first. वेदगुप्तो मुनि कृष्णो यतोहम अदिमध्यगाम हित्वा स्वशिष्यान् पैलादीन भगवान बादरायणः मय्यं पुत्राय शांताय परम गुह्यमिदं जगौ विचित्रवीर्यो अथो वाह काशीराज सुते बलात् स्वयंवराद उपानीते अंबिका अंबिका अंबिकां बालिके उभे तयोरासक्त हृदयो गृहीतो यक्ष्मणामृतः। Just read the translation for all the verses 21 to 24. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Chitrangad, of whom Vichitravirya was a younger brother, was killed by a Gandharva who was also named Chitrangada. Satyavati, before her marriage to Shantanu, gave birth to the master authority of the Vedas, Vyasadev, known as Krishna Dvaipayana, who was begotten by Parashar Muni. From Vyasadev, I, Shukadev Goswami is saying, from Vyasadev, I, Shukadev Goswami, was born, and from him I studied this great work of literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. The incarnation of Godhead Vedavyas, rejecting his disciples headed by Paila, instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to me because I was free from all material desires. After Ambika and Ambalika, the two daughters of Kashiraj, were taken away by force, Vichitravirya married them, but because he was too attached to these two wives, he had a heart attack and died of tuberculosis. Text 25, the one with the purport. Kshetre prajasya vai bhratur matrokto badarayanaha dhitrashtram cha pandum cha Viduram Chapyajijanat. Translation. Badarayan Sri Vyasadev, following the order of his mother Satyavati, begot three sons, two by the womb of Ambika and Ambalika, the two wives of his brother Vichitravirya, and a third by Vichitravirya's maidservant. These sons were Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vichitravirya died of tuberculosis, and his wives Ambika and Ambalika had no issue. Therefore, after Vichitravirya's death, his mother Satyavati, who was also the mother of Vyasadev, asked Vyasadev to beget children to the wives of Vichitravirya. In those days, the brother of the husband could beget children through the womb of his sister-in-law. This was known as Devarena Stotpatti. If the husband was somehow unable to beget children, his brother could do so through the womb of his sister-in-law. This Devarena Sutotpatti and the sacrifices of Ashwamedh and Gomedh are forbidden in the age of Kali. The verse comes here. Ashwamedham gavalambam sanyasam pailapaitrikam Devarena Sutotpattim kalau pancha vivarjayet. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. The offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Brahma Vaivarta Puran. The chapter is entitled The Descendants of Ajamid.
One very famous king, his story comes before the ninth canto. On Sunday, we were treated to a very scintillating, entertaining, enlightening class by Balladevi Prabhu about verse 20, which speaks of Bhishma Dev as the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parashuram in a fight, Lord Parashuram was very satisfied with him. By the semen of Shantanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of a fisherman, Chitrangada took birth. So this is the story of Somavansha, the moon god's dynasty. Even today we have in India people calling themselves Suryavanshi or Somavanshi. That lineage is still there. As we have people calling themselves Bharadwaj or Garga or Gautama, these surnames are common. Why? Because Vedic culture was having this understanding that one should take one's lineage, either spiritual or material, from powerful sadhus, powerful sages. For this particular reason, only many of the rishis were grihasthas. If everybody would be just a mendicant or not involved in begetting progeny, how would society go forward? So we have Narad Muni, Parvat Muni, Angira Muni, the four Kumaras, Shukdev Goswami, who are strict renunciates, celibate monks. At the same time, we have Vasishtha and many other rishis who would actually have their families, Bharadwaj, Brihaspati. So it is very important that that particular lineage would protect the kind of knowledge which flows through that particular family line. And of course, this is the material world. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Sakale Neha Mahata. Kala is called as highly powerful. Mahata, Mahati Kal could be long time, or Kalena Mahata is very powerful time. Time can bring castles down, ruin kingdoms, bring down personalities, reduce somebody's wealth to ashes. Time can do everything. Time is very powerful. Time also is a feature of the Supreme Lord. So this material world means discrepancies, shortcomings, mistakes, errors have to be expected and accepted. I don't know if they do it now, but previously whenever you would have a cash memo from a shop, they would write, those who have done accounting, they could understand this. What do they write? E-N-O-E. What does E-N-O-E mean? Errors and omissions expected. Of course, they would say, goods once sold will not be taken back. There will be no error on that. But if they commit some errors in charging you more, just expect that. Errors and omissions expected. That's how sometimes we have to understand things accordingly. I had a discussion with a friend, and reflecting upon Monday's class, he said, he didn't say it directly, sort of paraphrased it.
He said the whole thing could have been avoided. If Bhishma would have asked the three princesses, whom do you want to marry? One would have said, oh, my heart is already set on Shalva. I said, okay, go to him. So that time they don't ask people's opinions, and I said, wait. We are talking of someone called Bhishma, the one with the terrible vow, Ganga Putra, the Sakshat son of Mother Ganga. So it's very easy. It's very easy, as I say, easy peasy. It's very easy to just say, oh, this is where he committed a mistake. This is where you committed a mistake. I don't know which potency comes into action, but when trying to understand somebody's mistakes, we are right on the dot. Very accurately we can pinpoint somebody's mistakes. When it comes to our own, I'd read somewhere that some kind of celebrity personality was having an interview, and interviewer asked, what are your good traits? What are your good qualities? Oh, I sing well, I dance well, I look well, everybody says, I cook some items well. And faults? None that I know of. Just imagine. You can safely say in this age, I have no faults that I know of. What if you point out some faults? You may say, oh, look at others. They have so many. Compared to them, I am a saint. So this is a very seriously flawed logic. And today in our short time, we shall try to understand one point, which is, at least I saw this in this purport, Prabhupada relating the history, but is also giving some understanding. And I found something very nice in Bhishma Dev's instructions in the first canto. It's a long list, but maybe we'll try to go through that. So, Satyavati, as we heard, Satyavati was desired by King Shantanu, and he was sort of wasting away, as they say, not able to concentrate his mind upon anything. And the son asked, what's the matter? He said, no, nothing, really nothing. Nothing which concerns you. But Gangaputra Bhishma, being a very conscientious person, a very caring person, intelligent person, he knew there is something here amiss. So he asked his minister, I don't know, ask somebody else. Then when he asked the charioteer, he said, well, something did happen. And this fisherman's village, there could be some clue. We can understand how to put things together. So he talked to the fisherman, king, and he was highly ambitious. I mean, just imagine a fisherman seeing a prince coming and asking for his daughter, should have just gladly given. But he was thinking, oh, this is time to strike gold. So he said, I only have one condition. He also had previous knowledge that your daughter could give birth to an emperor, or she's of a very high, she's highly fortunate. So he put this condition that her progeny should be king. Bhishma Dev readily agreed. He put another ironclad condition. What about your own progeny? What if tomorrow they fight? I mean, I don't have any problem with you giving your promise. What about your progeny? He said, all right, I take a vow. Not only I will protect her progeny, that throne of Hastinapur, I give my life, my mind, my words, everything for protection of that throne. Never will I waver from this, and not a single thought will cross my mind apart from protecting this throne. And when he looked up to the heavens, in the name of my forefathers, I take this vow.
Bhishma, Bhishma, they said. Oh, this is a very terrible vow. This age is not so conducive. See, it's like we understand why it is so difficult to just follow the regulative principles of freedom, Prabhupada says. They are not regulative principles of bondage. But why is it so difficult? We are faced against this age. He may say, why didn't you say so? I knew. I didn't have any problems. But why were you born in this age then? So that's our fault. The age is only 50%, other 50% is our problem. So, what do? We can't change the time. So we try to change ourselves. And all help is given. So that's what is the real message. If you are with God, as they say, you plus God is majority. You don't need anybody else. So, the story goes on. Chitrangad was the younger brother. And just see how this world is. There is a Gandharva called Chitrangad. Now, somebody's Mohan, there could be another Mohan. If your name is Sachin, do you feel proud of it? But then, all right. But this kind of name rivalry, it's very big in the commercial world. You can't start manufacturing wheat flour called Sony wheat flour. They will take exception. They say, hey, that's our name, that's our brand name. There are wars. There are lawyers who are specializing only in brand names. And they really split hairs over whether this name resembles this name or like books. There's a famous book and somebody writes another book with a little comma here and there. And some lawyer catches him. Well, this is plagiarism. You stole this idea from someone. So it's the same thing. This Chitrangad is so angry that, you know, some lowly human being is calling himself Chitrangad. By the way, human beings are not so highly respected in Vedic literature. It's a fact. You always find, like yesterday we were discussing about why Bhishma came down if he is a divine personality. Did you take this story yesterday, how Ganga and Bhishma came down? No. Once in an assembly of the Devas, Ganga was there and a strong wind came and her hair, her clothes all became scattered. And there was one king, I think his name was Mahabhish. And there were the 8 Vasus. So the Vasus and this king, they did not turn their gaze away from what was happening here. And all the Devas, although we think that they are all, you know, very much interested in sense gratification, but when they saw it is a big, solemn, somber occasion, they all turned their faces like that. Only the Vasus and Ganga, of course, didn't do anything. So all 3 guilty parties, Ganga, the Vasus, and this king, they said, you are behaving like this manushyas. This behavior is like manushya loka behavior. All you go there, all of you. So Ganga was saying, please, I'm sorry, I should have realized. The king was repentant. The Vasus were saying, oh my goodness, you know, another mess we are in. Please, not for long. So Ganga was told, all right. There is some way in which it can be adjusted. You will be this king, this Mahabesh will be Shantanu, the Vasus will be born from you. But one of them, named Dyu, was a little bit guilty in his heart. He will stay longer. So that is how the Mahabharata explains. As soon as this baby was born, the king would see to his horror. He had promised his wife, I will not do anything to stop whatever you are doing. So she would take this baby, throw him in the Ganga and say, good for you. This is good for you. And the king would be like bonkers. So what is she doing? Is she a mother or is a witch? How can somebody give birth to her own child and throw him in the waters? But that Vasu would get liberated. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all 7 came back. The 8th one, when she was about to throw him, Shantanu said, enough is enough. Stop, oh cruel lady, don't do that to my son. And he said, how can you throw your own babies like that? They are my sons. She said, yes, they are your sons, I don't disagree with that. He will remain with you. And since you stopped me, I hereby take your leave. So then, of course, she took again her son, trained him in warfare. He was the one who had to stay a long time. And a long time he stayed. Very long time. Of course, he could also show such excellent qualities. He could give such excellent education. We shall see that in the second part. Should we investigate or? Oh. Anyway. So then, Chitrangad was challenged to a fight and he died. Mostly Gandharvas are very powerful. As they say, they can, you know, easily beat Manushyas without much effort. So Chitrangada being dead, Satyavati had given in her previous the years before her marriage to Shantanu, Parashar Muni had met her. And another very, very, very mind-boggling, bewildering kind of incident. Parashar Muni just asked her, she was a fisherman's daughter. Women don't go for fishing outside in the ocean. So she would just ferry passengers from one end of the river to the other end. Parashar Muni was a lone passenger and he created a fog. And she said, what are you doing? He says, don't worry. I am being dictated by some higher powers. So it is not my wish. I am just cooperating. I will put my seed into your womb, and right now you will give birth. She said, but I'm unmarried. He said, don't worry. I will see to it that you won't be violated. And right there on an island, a dweep, a baby was born. So that's why he was blackish. So he was called Krishna. Born on an island called Dvaipayana. Once there was some discussion as to how come we are not even supposed to look here and there or do something and then we get burned, and these big, big sadhus, they can do whatever they want. Now anybody today can say, I am also dictated by some higher power. Is it not? The question is, let us check the results. Can you beget Vyasadevs who can write Vedanta, who can do something for the welfare of this world? So therefore, this is the hint, or this is the point which I am taking, that here when we come to understand the Shastra saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. In Kali Yuga, we say, why not? there seems to be some kind of a gene, some kind of a germ, virus, all right, a virus, which gives us this kind of a thought as to whenever there is a rule, this is not allowed in Kali Yuga. We say, why? In fact, the more you see rules, the more is the desire to flout them. I read a small story in some Nitish Shastra or maybe a folk tale kind of thing, that a sadhu was sitting on the entry point of a forest, and villagers would come from woodmen with an axe, would come from various other villages nearby. And at the time, there would be so many jungles, so they would just try to find out where you can get wood. So this sadhu, whenever somebody would come by, he says, "Jao, jao." And he would show him in derision, "Go." The moment he would say, "Jao," the moment he would say, "Go," somebody would say, "Why should I go? I'll stay here. There's so much wood here, why should I obey you?" One fellow was intelligent. You are saying that this sadhu, he won't be lying, he won't be cheating. Looks like a genuine sadhu. So he says, "Why do you say, whenever somebody comes here, go away, in that direction?" So he looked at the sadhu, expecting a good answer. The sadhu said, "Go away." So he said, "Well, maybe I should try." He went ahead. Instead of a normal pine trees and tamarind trees and other trees, he found a forest of sandalwood trees. He said, "Oh, this is the reason why he was telling people, go away." Now, I would think after that, but why not tell them simply that go away, there is a sandalwood forest there? Much simple, right? But then, how do you understand faith? There is a saying in English, you never cross a valley in two leaps. You cannot jump and then pause and again take some strength and again jump. You can't do it. You can never jump across a ravine or a crevice or a valley in two leaps. It has to be one. So therefore, it is all right. People say now that so many sadhus and so many other people have cheated us. Prabhupada in his lectures, conversations, would always say that there are cheaters. Why? Prabhupada's answer, why there are cheaters? Because people want to get cheated. As such, people are angry because they have been cheated, and then somebody answers them in this way, they get more angry. But the fact is this, Krishna only provides cheaters when there is a sufficient market for people who want to get cheated. That is a fact. And Prabhupada said, if you want to get a genuine currency note, what do you do first? I remember the first thing when I was, I think about after school or whatever, going to college, or my father told me, "Do you know how to recognize currency notes?" I said, "Well, yes." So there is this picture, there's a watermark, there's a black line. Now, even after this, there are still people who do counterfeiting. What if we are not trained as to how to judge a good currency note? We might just fall in for anything which is nicely printed or having some anybody's attractive face. So similarly, we need to understand, we have to learn understand the importance of what is spiritual knowledge. Who can give spiritual knowledge? And Prabhupada said, this basic information is your right. And this basic information is your responsibility. Then you can claim your right for higher spiritual knowledge. So the story goes on. Badaraya and Vyasadeva
following the order of his mother Satyavati, seeing that Chitrangada is dead, Vichitra Virya also died without any issue. He was told, it is called Niyog in Mahabharata. Niyog Paddhati. The brother is dead, sister-in-law is there. So another brother is told, you beget children. Sounds gross, sounds illicit. But at the same time, it is said, this is not applicable in this age. Now just imagine if this license was given. As such, without this license, so many horror things are happening. So there is a reason why the scriptures provide something or they don't provide something. There is an order, there is a law system. But unfortunately, today's leaders, scientists, philosophers, politicians, academicians, they just don't agree to a higher order. And Prabhupada called them misleaders. So people in general have to take the responsibility on their own. We have to educate on our own. The school system, Prabhupada called it a slaughterhouse. And just like an animal comes in the assembly line of today's slaughterhouse, there are some places where they even feed the animals minutes before they are slaughtered. And animals are blissfully unaware what's happening. And chop comes the blade. So similarly, we may go to some school or college thinking that I'll get education. What is the language used in India? Get education, make a career, get settled. Is it not? Such high hopes. But all you get is the blade's chop. All aspirations, all finer emotions are just slaughtered by, not by some kind of a sinister looking or a horrible looking person, in the name of music, dance, culture, entertainment, movies, dramas, news, science, sports, business, politics, opinions, slowly, slowly all those finer sentiments are taken away. In the end, I'm going to read a list. Don't think that I am actually understanding it, but I just found it very, very, not just interesting, but also very enlightening. People today, all of us put together, somehow we are trying to get out of it. We have these three things in life. Sense gratification now. Heavenly planets tomorrow. And liberation when I'm fed up with that. Prabhupada explains in the purport these three things. I'm just putting them together. The Vedas can be misused. Like Prabhupada calls Veda Vada Rata, those who misuse the Vedas, mistaken educators, another name in the Upanishad, mistaken educators. Why mistaken? Because the first thing is they say use the Vedas for sense gratification now. And obviously sense gratification is not a business proposition which will endure for long. So well, better quality sense gratification in the heavenly planets. What if I get bored there? What if there is a saturation point there? Liberation. Now to take away people from these three very, very strong forces which pull you towards them, the acharyas have to give forth the transcendental objective. That this is a gross misuse of the Vedas. Vedas should not be misused for that. Imagine going to somebody's office and seeing a diamond placed as a paperweight. You may say, hey, why don't you sell it? You say, sell, someone will buy this. Obviously, they don't understand the value of it. So similarly, value can be understood when you have a proper valuer. So the acharyas, they not only understand, they take, Krishna himself calls himself Vedanta Krit Vedavit. I wrote Vedanta through whom? Through Vyasadeva. Here it is said, incarnation. And I am the one who should be consulted for the real knowledge of why Vedas are given. 15th chapter, the famous Ashwattham Prahur verse, Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, what about the Vedas? Is it not? People ask questions in India, Bhagavad Gita, chanting Hare Krishna, deity worship, all your bhajans, kirtans, what about the Vedas? As if the Hare Krishna movement is going in this direction, the Vedas are going in that direction. Obviously, people ask you, have you read the Vedas? Have you read the Vedic richas or the chandas? Prabhupada's answer would be, there is no time. There is no time. It's like Birbal's khichdi, you know that proverbial huge pot, half of room size, all the ingredients properly put inside, and a small candle below it. It'll take 300 years before you'll get khichdi. And who will live in this age for long? So there is no problem with the Vedas as such. The Vedas have this kind of do's and don'ts. Who will agree to them? So therefore, it is cruelty in this age to insist upon all the entire Vedas to be learned and then you come to a conclusion. When Gaudiya Acharyas, they say, don't do this, don't do that, just chant Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, our Subuddhi Roy, when he was in a quandary, in a complete dilemma, I got some water thrown by Yavana, what do I do? So one group of Brahmana says, They went through so many scriptures and said, drink boiling ghee. So he said, that's no solution, I will die after that. We are not telling that. We are just saying you have to drink boiling ghee as prayaschitta. The other is saying, you jump in the confluence of the Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati. He said, the same thing. Nobody is telling me I should die, but they are telling indirectly that death is the only way out. And Lord Chaitanya says, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Now it seems, is this cop out? Is this some kind of an easy way out? No. Lord Chaitanya didn't come something. Prabhupada said, he is God. If he wanted, he could have changed the system. Even God doesn't change his system. He gives the same mantra which was given so many thousands of years ago. And we dare have people today changing the mantra or adding something in it. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Sri Radhe Govinda, or just to add some more spice or make it more ragatmika or raganuga, whatever. We don't necessarily criticize those who think that we should chant God's name as Naam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. You can chant God's name as any combination. Fine, that's allowed. But here is God Himself not willing to change the original formulation. So, the typical problems of this age is that we have anger. This is Bhishma Dev's recommendation. He says, anger, cultivate the art of forgiving. It's a big science in itself. Bhaktitit Maharaj would have a 9-hour seminar on just the art of forgiving. He would of course quote Haridas Thakur, Koresh. No time to go through all these stories. But the fact is, the first point he would insist is, you forgive someone for your benefit. What is the reason? Someone hurt you. Someone called you racist terms. Someone called you by some name. Someone called you by some faults. When was that? In my 9th standard. 13th of December, 1976 to be exact. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's reasoning would be, he insulted you once on the 19th of December, 1976. But you are making him insult you every day. Without he being in the picture anywhere now. So he hurt you once. Why allow him to hurt you every day?
So cultivate the art of forgiving, not for him, not for his sake, for your own sake. We have so many unlawful desires. Bhishma Dev's solution, don't make plans. Don't make plans. Obviously, for some things in life, planning is necessary. But today, they make you plan your holiday, plan your vacation, plan your festival. There is something called holiday stress. You know that? There is something called a festival stress. Ask the kitchen people here, they will understand. It's a fact. Ask any family wala, householder, if it is just a square family, dad, mom and two kids, and just to take them on some vacation where everybody agrees it's a vacation, everybody agrees we'll do something together, they come back home and at least one member says, oh, what a relief, back home. Now, why did you go to the holiday place in the first place? To get relief from home affairs. But the fact is, so much of planning, and we just, everything goes haywire. So, unlawful desires, they arise because of too much plan making. Disease, Prabhupada writes there, regulated diet. Now, obviously, all these years we could have known, the Greeks had written this, not that they have credit to it, but they had written it, let food be your medicine. Rather than that, medicine is becoming our food. There are people who take 8, 10, 12 tabs, capsules a day, just because of so many complexions, so that I can eat the food I like. I meet some doctors and they say, there are patients who say, don't teach me anything. I give you my arm, stick as many needles as you want. But don't tell me not to go to chowpatti, not to eat fast food, not to eat this, not to eat that. Good luck. You are the people who are the main benefactors of the allopathic medicine profession. This kind of obstinacy. Self-control. People say, I don't have self-control. Bhishma Dev says, don't have false hopes. If you cultivate false hopes about this material world, you will have obviously no chance for self-control. How to save money? You may say, wow, in the class you teach that? Well, I'm not teaching anything. Bhishma Dev is suggesting, if you want to save money, be free from undesirable association. Check it out in your own life. Maybe you have to entertain them, or they entertain you, then you have to entertain them back. And all this way, just to maintain your undesirable association with some friends in the material world, your money goes away like a broken pot. As much water you put in, it always drains away. With yoga, you can control hunger. Dizziness. I was surprised. Bhishma Dev talks of feeling dizzy. Rise up in the morning. Somebody might say, that's precisely the reason I don't rise, because I feel dizzy. Then sleep early. But actually, dizziness can be conquered by rising early. False arguments. So many times people just argue, get the facts correct. Talkativeness with silence and gravity. Finally, ends it. If you want perfect knowledge, cultivate knowledge about the soul, self-cultivation. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.